Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A marathon, we mean to win. All great runners in God's race for immortality were great finishers. They ran and ran and kept running all the way to the end. They started well enough, but that is not the reason their names were written in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. They're written there because they finished the race with victory and died with the hope that when Jesus Christ returns, that they will be raised to life and immortality and have a part in the kingdom which God is going to establish through his Son. It's not enough to have a spectacular beginning. God wants us to have a spectacular end. In the scriptures, more than once is used a race as a metaphor of our life with Christ. The marathon has three basics: a start, the race, and the finish. In our race for immortality, we have the same three basics. We have our starting point. When we believe the gospel of the kingdom of God, and we repent of our sins and are baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. That's a good basic start. And it's the only start that will get us to the end. But that the start is not all of the race. Some people act like it was, and they feel as long as they have been baptized, then there's some sort of a eternal security that some way they're going to make it. But the Apostle Paul is a great example of a runner who started well, who ran well, and who finished well. The race, then, is the progress and the development in Christ. After we are baptized into Christ, then we are placed into grace. We're to grow in grace. And day by day, we are to pattern our lives after Christ. Hebrews 11 is all about the finishers. What kept them running all the way to the end? These individuals had caught a glimpse of the eternal prize, and they wanted it. You remember Paul said the very same thing in the third chapter of Philippians, that he had his aim set for the prize, or the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And then as he goes on down through that chapter, he tells us what that prize is. He said that he might be among those who are in the resurrection from the dead. And in the Greek, there's a little preposition there, ek, the one out from among the dead. Or as John tells us in Revelation, the 20th chapter, the first resurrection. He had his mind and his whole being. Another place he said he strained every nerve that he might have that prize. We see the winners in Hebrews 11. There was Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and many others. In this text it says, let us. Paul is narrowing this down now to a personal thing. It's for each individual person. When I start to race, it is up to me to finish. When you start to race, it is up to you to finish. One of the sad things is that many start well, but not many finish well. Maybe Jesus had something in mind when he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Let us run the race that is before us. The question might be on our minds, how can we be sure of winning? We can be sure of winning if we follow the rules that are laid down, and they are laid down for us in these verses. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every sin. Run with endurance or perseverance. Focus on Jesus, our great example, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, if we do these four things, we will be sure of a victorious ending. Lay aside every weight. The Greek word, therefore, weight is a hindrance. Some of these weights and hindrances have to be shed off of us. We're admonished in Romans and in Colossians that we are to put off the old man and put on the new. I'm afraid many people have a mistaken idea of this and thinks that this putting off the old man is done in the act of baptism. But follow this out in the writings of Paul, and you will find that this is our progress. This is what we are to be doing day by day. And we are to be casting aside those things and putting on the new. And someday, if we are faithful, we will be new creations in Christ Jesus when we are raised to immortality. Some of these things are things which we allow our eyes to see, things which we read, sometimes our occupations become weights. Some circumstances are beyond our control. We all know that. But many others are a direct result of the choices we make. When we make our choices, follow the leadings of the carnal nature, which wants to take it easy and wants to go sliding along. The Church of God has always stood for the teaching of the kingdom on the earth and people being rulers with Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was just going right along and telling us what we have to do if we are going to be rulers with him. Aside every sin which besets us. Now we come to the dreadful word that God hates. Sin refers to the promptings of the old nature. In 1 John 3:4, we're told that sin is anything that God forbids. It's a transgression of the law. Many times we talk about sin, and we talk about it in a general way. When Paul talked about sin, he became very specific. And you read in Colossians, and you will find that he names a lot of sin. Here are some of the sins that we are to lay aside. And these sins are found in believing Christians. Pride, impatience, stubbornness, sensitiveness, and I find in all my life that many Christians are very sensitive, and some are very stubborn. Paul, these things we must cast aside if we're going to win this race, if we're going to come to the end. Jealousy, deceit, the sin of gossip, the sin of criticism, criticizing brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, criticizing the church, criticizing the church board, criticizing anything that comes to mind. These things are of the lower nature, and these are weights that will hinder us from finishing the race. Any of these evils will separate us from God. Then we are to run with perseverance. The third part of showing ourselves great men and women of faith is that we actually run, and we run, and we keep running. Running suggests a steady, rapid, vigorous, continuous action by which we make visible progress down the race course of life. I'm not standing up here this morning and telling you that this race is easy. Paul didn't tell us that either. But I'm going to tell you this, that everybody in this auditorium this morning who has started in this race can finish and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But that falls in the category of choice. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to cast aside the weights? Am I going to set my mind on the prize and keep pressing forward, regardless of what somebody else does? There was a remark made in our Sunday school class this morning that's well worth our considering. A person said, "Thank God that He is our judge and not individuals." We do become concerned of what other people do. But remember this, whatever they do is not going to, should not affect our falling out in the race. We have no time for loitering, no time for indecision. If we would win, we must run. All the things that I see around about me, and the things that you see, and the things you hear on radio or read in the newspaper, makes us believe down deep in our hearts that the race is coming to an end. It could be possible, I'm not saying that it is possible, but it could be possible that some here today will be living when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We do not set dates. We only look at things around about us. And in prophecy, sometimes we are right and sometimes we are wrong. But the main thing is that let us keep running and keep our eyes on Christ, not on individuals, not on a body not on our conference, not on anything but Jesus Christ, and we will make it through. Focus on Jesus Christ, our example. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ knew when he was on earth, when he went about teaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, raising the dead, that the end of his ministry would be a death, would be crucifixion. He kept his eyes upon that constantly. And remember, as his ministry came to nearing to a close, he kept telling the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things, that he must die. He also told them that if he died, he would be resurrected, and he would ascend into heaven and wait there until the times of restitution. The right focus is essential to the life of faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 to 3 from the NIV, says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Here Paul is telling us where to focus, on things above and not of things of the earth. Too many people are too much taken up with the things of the earth and not enough taken up with the spiritual things that are above. Bible reading, Bible study. We say we love the Bible. We want to study the Bible. But come out here on Wednesday night and see how few people come out to really study the Bible, where we have the opportunity to study it and discuss it. It's not as many as we see here this morning. I wish it were. I believe if we made an effort, more people could be out than do come. Why focus on Jesus? Because he is the author and the finisher. We run the race, he ran the race, he set the pace, and he achieved the goal. In Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, also from the NIV, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly waiteth a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Just because we have made a good start, victory is not automatic, and quitting is disastrous. Some did quit. Remember in Galatians 5:7, Paul said to members of the church there, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Here were people that made a good start, but they didn't finish. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, and this is a warning to every one of us. Do you not remember how that on a racetrack every competitor runs, but only one wins the prize? Well, you ought to run with your minds fixed on winning the prize. Every competitor in athletic events goes into serious training. Athletes will take tremendous pains for a fading crown of leaves. But our contest is for an eternal crown that will never fade. I run the race then with determination that after having preached to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now, Paul was not disqualified, for we know that in the last epistle that he wrote, in 2 Timothy, he said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown. Paul, when he went to execution, knew down deep in his heart that one day when Jesus returns, that he would have a crown of life. Not everyone, we say, running the race will be a winner, but we can. Every one of us can. The Lord is exhorting us to get on with this business of living a holy life. Stay on the track and finish the race. No time now to dwell on the past. What lies at the finish line is what should occupy our minds. And James tells us in James 1:12, it's a crown of life, immortality. Our Lord attained it. All the runners mentioned in Hebrews 11 will attain it at the resurrection. In their victory, we can see certainty of our own. It's a race that we mean to win. Let every one of us keep running and keep our eyes upon Jesus. And regardless of what happens around us, let us stay faithful and follow him. And one day we can say with Paul, we've finished the race, we've kept the faith, and there's a crown laid up for us.